This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Friday, July 14th. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Newsom spins gas ban polls. Our home on the Grange and USDA's farm input forecast is analyzed. Newsom spins the poll numbers on gas ban. The Public Policy Institute of California has published the results of its annual survey on the environment. Among the many findings, a slim majority of adults and likely voters oppose Governor Newsom's ban on the sale of new gas-powered cars and pickups by 2035. Newsom's press office followed up with a statement highlighting the more favorable aspects of the survey. About the same amount of respondents, for example, approved of banning the sale of new diesel-powered medium and heavy-duty trucks by 2036. A slim majority also believed it is very important for the state government to pass regulations and spend money now on efforts to reduce climate change. Nearly 3 out of 4 respondents favored the state's goal of reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 40% below the 1990 levels within the next 7 years. Well, happy Grange Day. Before the legislature broke for summer recess yesterday, senators honored California State Grange Day. For more than 150 years, California State Grange has been an unwavering force for agriculture, farmland preservation, and developing the next generation of farmers and ranchers, according to Senator Mike McGuire of Harrisburg. He saluted the organization for actively promoting women to leadership positions for more than a century. The more you know. According to the Senate resolution, the State Grange formally organized in 1873 through the efforts of 28 local granges across the state. The delegates adopted policies on improving ag, cooperative purchasing, water rights, and transportation. The Grange Napa roots have its support today for sustainable and regenerative ag practices. White House holds a listening session on competition. White House and USDA officials met with representatives of 16 farm groups and other organizations yesterday, talking about the need for more competition in agriculture. According to a White House readout, the administration officials, quote, express support for further legislative action to protect farmers and ranchers from abuse, promote competition, and make our supply chains more diverse and resilient. And they noted that they are encouraged to see this as an area of bipartisan interest. The groups represented at the meeting included the American Farm Bureau Federation, the National Farmers Union, and the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture. House China panel members propose giving CFIUS new authority over land purchases. Members of the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party proposing to expand the jurisdiction of the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. over land purchases and require the panel to take food security into account in its reviews. The lawmakers, bipartisan, Protecting U.S. Farmland and Sensitive Sites from Foreign Adversaries Act would require CFIUS to consider the impact a covered transaction would have on the United States food security, including through foreign adversary acquisition of biotechnology related to agriculture. The bill's sponsors include Committee Chairman Representative Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin, Representative Mike Thompson of California, House Republican Conference Chairwoman Elise Stefanik of New York. You can read our full report at AgriPulse.com. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West next. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. The Republican side of the Senate Agriculture Committee is using fresh data from USDA to make the case that farm input costs are still elevated by historical standards, even if they've come off last year's highs. According to an analysis by the committee's GOP staff, USDA's first cost of production forecast for 2024 shows that input costs will be the third highest on record and, quote, only slightly lower than the record high reached in 2022. USDA is projecting fertilizer and chemical costs to decline next year, but other expenses, including seed costs, will be higher. The report notes that fertilizer costs are 78% higher this year than in 2020, and that pesticide expenses are up 66%. Why it matters? Well, farm groups are pushing for increases in price loss coverage reference prices, citing higher input costs. Senators eye farm bill to advance ag automation. A new bipartisan proposal for the next farm bill is aimed at spurring the use of artificial intelligence to mechanize the production of fruits and vegetables. A marker bill being introduced by Senators Marco Rubio of Florida and John Ossoff of Georgia would authorize USDA to prioritize research grants for AI and for advanced mechanized harvester technologies. Now keep in mind, the bill would not mandate new funding for automation research, which has been a top priority for specialty crop producers. More farm bill proposals rolling in. The Gus Schumacher Nutrition Incentive Program, or GUSNIP, and the USDA's Produce Prescription Program support the purchase of fresh fruits and vegetables, but not frozen ones. Senators John Cornyn of Texas and Ben Ray Luana of New Mexico are proposing to make frozen fruits and vegetables eligible. Meanwhile, more than 600 farm, food, and health leaders sent a letter to House and Senate Agriculture Committee leaders asking for some changes to GUSNIP. One of their requests is to reduce or eliminate the non-government one-to-one match requirement. The Democratic bill being introduced in the House and the Senate, the Local School Foods Expansion Act, would require USDA to set up a pilot program in at least 14 participating states for schools to buy locally grown fruits and vegetables with federal school lunch funding. Senate Ag members Sherrod Brown of Ohio and Peter Welch of Vermont are among the sponsors. EPA sued over lack of endangered species consultation on the RFS. EPA is being sued for failing to conduct formal Endangered Species Act consultation with federal wildlife agencies about the impacts of its latest biofuel usage mandates. The Center for Biological Diversity says EPA should have reviewed how endangered species would be affected by land conversion as well as pesticide and fertilizer use. CBD says the agency only asked to consult with the agencies on May 19th, 4 days after completing work on the rule, which was then formally published this week. EPA says the rule that the renewable volume obligations are not likely to adversely affect listed species and critical habitat, but the agency says it planned to proceed with informal consultations under the ESA and could revise if it is necessary. Well, here's today's He Said It. We ought to be insisting on the best possible farm bill that we can create, and if we can get it right, we can all celebrate. If we can't, we may need to push the pause button. That Representative Jim McGovern, the Massachusetts Democrat, at the roundtable held by the Democratic Farm Bill Task Force yesterday. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Friday, July 14th. brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Alley.